Well, you're watching Press TV, and we're interrupting our regular programs to bring you live coverage of a second open letter posted by Iran's Supreme Leader, Sayyid Ali Khamenei, on his website addressing Western youth. The first came on January 21st, just 2 weeks after the attack by extremists on the Paris offices of the satirical newspaper Charlie Hebdo. In that letter, Ayatollah Khamenei asked the youth to gain direct and first-hand knowledge about Islam instead of information based on resentments and prejudices. The leader's second letter comes at a time where the world is mourning the Paris attacks victims. Ayatollah Khamenei himself says, quote, "The bitter events brought about by blind terrorism in France have once again moved me to speak to the young people." To get more perspective into the Supreme Leader's message, we're joined by two guests, one in Oregon, Mike Harris, he's a financial editor of Veterans Today, and Max Egan from Brisbane. He's a radio host and political commentator. Thank you, gentlemen, for joining us here on Press TV. We're going to start in Brisbane. Max, what do you think about the timing of the Supreme Leader's message to the Western youth?
Look, I think it comes in the nick of time. I think the message is very much needed. I've read the letter and I was very, very impressed with the words of the leader. Much sense there that the West should really take on. I think the timing is very important. It's imperative that the youth do not get sucked into what is happening and do not get channeled down this pipeline and go into this mentality that is being foisted upon them. And it's coming from both sides. You know, East is being pitted against West, and it's a charade, it's a farce, and we need to step back and put a little bit of humanity back into the equation, I think. And I think it's a wonderful letter, and the timing is important. It's a pity it didn't come sooner, you know.
And I don't know if we have Mike with us. Mike Harris.
Yes,
okay, let's go to Mike. Thank you, Mike, for joining us here on Press TV. What do you think is the significance of the timing of the Supreme Leader to the Western youth?
I think it's long overdue. I think that for the last 50 or 60 years, the Saudi royal family has been spreading the toxic version of Islam called Wahhabism around the world. They've been funding it with their petrodollars. And this is really the source of this Islamic extremism. And I feel that Islam is being used as a political tool by this Wahhabist mindset in order to go in and asset strip and create havoc. If you've noticed, there has been a war against all of the secular Islamic regimes, but none of the extremist Islamic regimes, only the secular ones. And I think this is a result of this Saudi interference in the religion of Islam.
Right. And now back to Max. And Max, you said that you read the letter yourself and you were impressed. And then given that it's coming from the leader of Iran, how do you think that is being portrayed, and whether it is being reflected in Western media that the whole Islamic world is actually sharing the grief of the Western world in the wake of the Paris attacks, what was not seen when Beirut was bombed by Daesh?
Well, this is exactly it. I mean, there seems to be a push that Western values are more important than others, and that Western lives are more important than others. It's. I really hope that this letter does receive some traction in the West. I hope Western media covers it. It's kind of doubtful that they will, because we do see this portrayal, this blanket portrayal of what Islam is, which is nothing like what Islam is. I've been saying for months, these terrorists raging across the Middle East are about as Islamic as Mickey Mouse. There's nothing Islamic about them at all. And this is portraying Islam in a very, very poor light. And as the previous man commented, your other guest, it's the extremist regimes that we seem to be all pally-pally and chubby-chubby with. We're not worrying about that. Some of the most oppressive, brutal regimes on the planet are the guys that we take as our allies, and the open democracies in the area are the ones that get suppressed, the ones that are creative, the ones that want to bring new light to the world. These are the ones that get suppressed. So it's very important that people do get to see this letter. I hope the Western media does get it out to them. I will certainly be sharing it with as many people as possible. These are values that the West needs to take on, and this is nothing to do with the West becoming Islamic. What the Ayatollah has said in this letter is basic common sense, and he's speaking from the heart. And if we can adopt the values that are outlined in this letter, I think we can change the world. And as the man said, it is long overdue. It would have been nice to see this earlier. But this type of thinking needs to be adopted by people. It really does. We've got to step back and look at how we are being played here. This whole Western system is out of control. It's created the whole... Everything we see in the Middle East has been a result of Western foreign policy. You've got to look at who controls that foreign policy. Of course, there are always dual interests in there. But we've got to really step back and look at this and understand that this whole war on terror is a war of terror, and it's been created by our leaders, and it's time we stood up and called it out.
Well, Mike, what do you think when it comes to Islam being demonized? It's been associated with terrorism and extremism, and this letter and this message coming from the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran. What does that say?
Well, it tells me that most of the Western populations have bought into the Hollywood story that Islam is terrible, Islam is fanatics, Islam is these crazy people out there who want to blow things up. I've been to Syria recently. I've met with the Grand Mufti himself. And you know, he tells me that that these Daesh Takfiri types, that they're truly the heretics, that they should be punished according to Islam by other Muslims. And you know, it's just unfortunate that the only news that the West gets, that the populations of the West gets, are controlled very tightly by this news cartel that's part of the foreign policy problem that the West has right now. And it's something that needs to be undone. The people in the West are only as good as the information they're given, and they're not given accurate information about what Islam is, what it means, and they're forced to perceive Islam as being a threat and being dangerous people, and that nothing could be further from the truth.
Well, Max, back to you. And one of the main issues that the leader raises in his message is that the Islamic world has actually been the victim of terror and brutality for such a longer time. It's been a greater amount, it's been a longer period. And unfortunately, this violence has actually been funded and supported by Western countries, which are now mourning the loss of the Paris attacks. What do you think about that?
That is absolutely true. Look, what we see in the Paris attacks, you know, this is terrible that these people are in fear of what's happened in Paris. This is what has been going on in Palestine for the last 70 years. This is what's going on in all Middle Eastern countries at the moment, all spurred on by the West. You know, the double standards we see from the West and the reporting of what's actually going on is the problem. As Mike said, the people just don't get real information. The media, the Western media is so complicit in these crimes and these war crimes and all of these wars we see across the Middle East. These are the ones who've sold it to the world. They sell everything to the world. You look at what's going on in Palestine, and Israel is always portrayed as the victim, when what we've seen there is such terrorism and such open brutality against civilians from the Israeli government. You know, armed soldiers shooting women in the middle of the street, shooting children, attacking children, kidnapping children. This is the worst kind of terrorism every single day for people living in these countries. And yet we see an attack in Paris, as bad as it was that people died, we saw attack by the same people in Beirut the day before that wasn't even reported in the West, and it's used to pull the heartstrings to go and create more terrorism. And we've got to start calling this out for what it is. The media, the Western media, is the biggest problem, I believe, that we face in this situation, because we're not going to get any accountability from our politicians unless we've got a strong, responsible media. That is the job of the media, to be a government watchdog and present the truth to the people. But we don't get that. We get a completely biased version, a whitewashed version, where up is down and black is white and everything is backwards. And again, it's got to come down to the people. People have to start seeing this, and people are all around the world are seeing this. But we've got to stand up and make our voices count, and we've got to call this out and stop the direction we're going in. We really do. And the media has to be held accountable for most of these problems. I really believe that they are hugely complicit.
Well, Mike, now we know that terrorism right now in the modern world is a global issue. All countries are somehow dealing with it. But then when it comes to the West sincerity in its battle against the war, in its battle against terrorism and the war on terror, what does it tell us? The Supreme Leader actually mentioned that many of these extremist countries are allies of the West. And then when it comes to the attitude that these countries get, they're being supported, they're being financed, and there's no word about how they treat their people.
Well, no, there isn't much that the fact that the Saudis still do beheadings, that women are not allowed to drive cars. But, you know, the Saudis are supplying the West with a lot of oil, so they can get away with these type of things. And it's time for us to get rid of double standard. And as Max Eakin, the previous guest, said, let's go back and look at the history of terrorism. Where was the first terrorist act ever committed? It was committed at the King David Hotel in Palestine by Zionist elements who wanted to get the British crown to relinquish control of Palestine and give it to them, which they were successful in doing. And terrorism has been on the rampage and growing ever since then. It's time that people took a look at the history and see where these trends come from, see who's sponsoring them, and take direct action against those who truly are the sponsors of terrorism. And that includes these Western governments, including my own government, the United States, who is complicit in this. This war on terror is a hoax. And I'm going to go off the rest here a little bit, but if you look at no one believes that 19 Arabs with box cutters committed 9/11 anymore. That story is dead. People are examining 9/11 for what it really was. Yes, it was an act of terror, but many believe it was a false flag and an inside job. And if you reevaluate that and you invalidate the official story of 9/11, then suddenly you have a whole new lens which to look at the conflicts that are going on, have gone in Afghanistan and Iraq, and now this current conflict in Syria. It gives it a whole different perspective if you realize that 9/11 was indeed not what we were told it was.
Well, you're talking about 9/11 being an inside job and being a hoax, but let's go back to Mike here. And Mike, is it? No, I'm sorry. Let's go back to Max here. And Max, talking about 9/11, we already know that there are extremist ideologies that are behind what was called as Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, and now the new bogeyman in town, ISIL, the Daesh Takfiri terrorists. So there are extremist ideologies which are behind these attacks, behind these terrorist groups. What do you think actually leads to these ideologies? The Supreme Leader says these ideologies were not initiated in countries with Islamic roots. We see a lot of Western youth being attracted to these sorts of ideologies. So what goes wrong there which makes the youth attracted to these groups?
Well, you know, you see the way the social systems are set up, and you see the way the youth is marginalized in their countries, and you get these young kids and they've got a sort of a chip on their shoulder and they want some sort of an outlet. And these sort of things become attractive to them. And of course, we have the CIA out there grooming people and creating all these things. I really believe they set a lot of this up. Even with what they've done in Paris and through Europe, you notice they brought a lot of refugees into Europe, and then they dumped them in low substandard housing areas. They didn't give them any type of support or anything, and they just let it breed. They just let it breed so that these became sort of no-go areas. And you've got these youths that are growing up in very, very downtrodden situations in a foreign country. The people in the country don't particularly like them that much because they're foreigners that have come to their country. And this is all bred. It's all created to seed this type of situation where we can now bring all these migrants into Europe, and you can have Europe end up erupting into what it is. I mean, all of these sorts of things are contrived, I think. And a lot of the West, the Islamic, so-called Islamic extremism that we're seeing is a direct result of the actions of the West. I mean, when you look at what Brzezinski did when he went in there and he helped radicalize the Mujahideen to help them fight the Russians and all this sort of stuff, you look at how this all developed, the amount of weapons that have been pumped in there. You see ISIS driving around in Abrams tanks and howitzers and US Humvees, and they're getting medical attention in the Golan Heights, all the oil's being funneled out through Kurdistan. I mean, we know what's going on here. And again, it is, as Mike said, it's all riding off on the back of 9/11. And 9/11 was a hoax. 9/11 was a false flag. I mean, there's evidence, there's enough evidence to mount a case and secure a conviction with certain elements within the US and Israeli government that appear to be complicit in 9/11. And if a case was mounted, I'm sure we'd get a conviction against these people. That's how much evidence there is. And when you put that into perspective and you see how all this so-called Islamic extremism has been nurtured by the West, and then what do? We go and bomb their countries, keep bombing their countries, keep bombing their countries. What do you think this does? This creates all sorts of people that have got no other outlet but to join ISIS, who are going to pay them lots of money. which ends up being this ragtag group of mercenaries, which is all financed and funneled by the West. I mean, this whole thing is a charade, it's theatre. It's been cooked up by the West for a specific region. And I can't help looking at the land that is being destabilised in the Middle East and look at all through Syria and all through those countries, and then I look at the map of Greater Israel and I see it. Well, that's where it is. And then the other front where the war is being waged is the removal of the rights of the people in order to keep us safe from this mythical ragtag group of Islamic extremists, which doesn't exist. It's all mercenaries run by the West. The whole thing's been created and concocted. You know, order out of chaos is the way, and that's what they're doing. And even John Kerry has admitted that out of this chaos we will create order. And this is where they're going. And the whole thing is contrived. It's a setup, and people are beginning to see it, but it's very difficult for people to find a way out. They don't know, you know, we're in a bad position here, but we don't really know how to get out of that. So that's really the clue, is formulating a way to rein this criminal cabal that is running this Western world back under control and free humanity from this situation.
So, Mike, what do you think about, there's a sentiment of fear right now in the world, and there is this threat of ISIL looming before us. What do you think is the root cause of these extremist ideologies, and what leads people in the Western world to be attracted to groups like ISIL?
Well, you have to realize that there is an industry of terrorism. It's industry on both sides, and the industry of creating terrorism, and there's the industry of counterterrorism. And they have these budgets to fight terrorism if they didn't have terrorists. And you have to look at where the money is. And I've always said from the beginning, when I first began investigating ISIS and traveling to Syria, you have to look at, follow the material support. Where is the material support for these operations coming from? And in every case you look at it, it comes from a foreign intelligence operation going on inside of Syria. That's where the funding comes from. That's where the seed capital is. And then these things become self-funding by stealing Syrian oil, Syrian artifacts, Iraqi oil, Iraqi artifacts, and they're selling them around the world. I mean, this is a huge criminal enterprise, because you have to realize the oil that's stolen in Syria does not get itself to the refinery. It doesn't walk there. It's put on a truck. It's put on a ship. It's moved. There's a bank out there someplace who's clearing the transaction when that oil is bought and sold. There's a refinery out there that's buying stolen property. That's how large this criminal enterprise is. And this is an industry. People are making money off of this. They're getting very, very wealthy by creating this unrest. And this is what's going on. And it's time to look at this the way we looked at the Bolshevik Revolution. Communism was used as a political weapon in order to go in and asset strip and kill the people of Russia. Well, radical Islam is being used as a political weapon to go in and asset strip and kill the people of Syria and Iraq. It's not very different from what they did then. It's a tried and true model that this criminal enterprise, which is global in scope, it's not just in my country, it's all around the world. There is a transgenerational, transnational criminal enterprise out there that has infiltrated every government and is the sponsor of this activity. And it's time that people wake up and see it for what it is. And I have to tell you, I'm very happy to be on with Max Egan, and I like his point of view, and maybe a few of us can get the word out there in these Western countries.
Well, Max, what do you think about Mike's comments when it comes to the Western world actually needing terrorism to materialize its goals? Do you think that is true? And what do you think about the Western policies when it comes to fighting terrorism? Do you think they're sincere?
Look, I'd have to concur with everything Mike said. No, they're not sincere. They're not sincere at all. They create this whole situation. Terrorism is a political tool. That's what they're using. And when you look at it, it's all about globalism. You know, the people who are being expelled from the Middle East now because we're carpet bombing their countries are victims of globalism that are now being pushed into Europe and being used as weapons for globalism against the people of Europe. This is how it works. The whole thing is planned and contrived. And we have to start calling this out. Personally, bringing it back to Palestine for a moment, if I may, I really believe that Gaza Strip provides the world a key to heal the world, because Gaza Strip is an open war crime. Let's get serious about it. Regardless of what they're doing in West Bank and all sorts of stuff, debates about land, all these sorts of areas we can get drawn into of debating and all sorts of speculation. But the very existence of Gaza Strip is a breach of Article 33. It's collective punishment. It's a breach of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention. This is an open war crime. And I believe if the people can open up their hearts to the children that are trapped in Gaza, because it is a population mainly of children trapped in this hellhole of Gaza Strip, We can call this war crime out for what it is, which gives us the ability to arrest virtually this whole cabal across the planet, because they're all in support of war crimes. If they're going to be inflicting their legislation upon us, creating all these wars and all this mayhem and everything they're doing, what makes any of it valid if these people can be seen to be someone who is supporting an open war crime? And any one of these politicians who is supporting Israel while Israel is carrying out war crimes can be arrested as a war criminal and tried for their actions under their own legislation. And I think this provides a key to be able to arrest the entire kakistocracy across this planet, every media outlet, every banking cartel, anybody who has been seen to be showing support for this state while it is carrying out war crimes. You know, we have to have the guts and the balls to stand up and do this. You know, I don't know if I can say that on TV, but we need to grow up here and stand up and call this out for what it is. You know, this whole planet is run by war criminals. It's run by a criminal cabal, as Mike said. It's a global cabal that's taken control of all of our countries, and everybody's being played. Even the people of Israel are being played. The Jewish people are being played. They're being blamed as the scapegoats for all this, when really it's the mechanism of Israel which has been created by this global cartel to do exactly what it's doing and shift blame from their actions onto the group of people on the ground who are just as terrorized as everybody else. These people are brainwashed and brutalized into all the things they do. You can't blame them. This whole thing is a setup to create this whole global corporation, is what they're doing, this technocratic corporate system that they're putting in place. And every country that they have destabilized in the Middle East has been an open democracy that's been trying to do something right, hasn't been part of the Western agenda. And so they've just gone on and stomped on them all and called them terrorists because they won't go along with what we want them to do. And the Western people, you can't blame them either, because they've been fed this rubbish by their media that makes them fear all these people in the Middle East to think it's they're the problem, when really it's us. But we've got to start calling this out. And I think Gaza Strip is right there in everybody's face. This is an open war crime being supported by hundreds, if not thousands, of politicians all around the world. And if their legislation or international law is to mean anything, then we have a tool here that we can use to not only save the people of Palestine, but rein this whole system back under control and get rid of this criminal cabal.
Well, gentlemen, we're short of time, and just to wrap this up, we're seeing Iran's leader reaching out to the Western youth and trying to raise awareness. We also had campaigns such as Not In My Name, which denounced what went on in Paris and also elsewhere in the world. How do you think this awareness has to be raised, and where do we start? Very briefly, if you may, we'll start with you, Mike.
Well, I think all of us need to demand that the Western media cover this story. This is a significant action here, and I personally stand in solidarity with the Iranian leader. I think he's on the right track. I think he's doing the right thing, and we all can make a difference. We have no problems we can't fix.
Max, one sentence from you.
Look, I would have to concur with everything Mike said. This is a very, very important time in history, and we need to all get involved, and we need to share this information and support this initiative. And thank you for asking me on to comment.
Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time here on Press TV. Mike Harris, the financial editor of Veterans Today, joining us from Oregon, and also Max Egan, the radio host and political commentator, joining us from Brisbane. Thank you very much, gentlemen, for your time and your insight here on Press TV. Well, that's a wrap for the live coverage on Iran's leader's letter to the Western youth. And back to our normal programs.